Log Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Sons, also known as Onyx. Unfortunately, I must apologize. Billy Mills, my co-host, won't be able to join us tonight. He had an unexpected emergency. Hopefully everything will work out, and he'll be back with us next week. Our thoughts or with him and his family, as always. Tonight I have my co-host will be my lead investigator, co-owner of Onyx Nights Paranormal, Melissa Peacock. Melissa, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, I can
Hello.
Hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Hi. Thanks for joining in and helping me out here. Last week we did an episode on Sasquatch, and Billy and I had intentions of continuing that this week. Unfortunately, he had an incident occur. I don't know the details of the incident. I'm sure, you know, if he wanted me to know, he would let me know. That's the way I look at it. But we're going to kind of continue that a little bit this week, if we can. Bear with me, guys. I am really running on fumes. It's been a really chaotic week. Had very little sleep last night, and I was actually helping Melissa do some moving today. Melissa, you and I, we've got a lot going on this week. We have actually two investigations on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's going to be a long day, too.
Yeah, I know. And I really think that, I think it's going to be a long night also. We have one investigation. We're not at liberty at this time to discuss the actual location of it due to certain situations surrounding the location. There's a business on the property, and I'm sure in time we'll be able to give out the location, but for now we got to keep it under wraps. So far as not to hurt the business, but Melissa, I mean, you've talked to the owner of the location. I've talked to him. You've talked to him more than I have. If you can, go ahead and give some of the claims that were given to you.
Well, when I first found out about it was I was driving by and they had a haunted trail, which this was during Halloween, and of course I love that kind of stuff, so I wanted to go. So I talked to my husband about it and everything, and he thought it was like a horse trail. So I stopped in one day and asked, and the owner's wife was there, and I was talking to her, and she started telling me everything that had been going on. She told me they had a TV out there, and it wasn't hooked up to anything. It was just an old square TV sitting out there, and it would come on by itself and be the white static snow on it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I completely forgot about that claim.
And that they could see stuff on it. You know, they actually ended up seeing some stuff on it.
With no power cord hooked up to it at all, based on what
no
he said,
power
right?
whatsoever. The cord was laying there in the dirt. No electricity to it.
That would be a little freaky. I completely forgot about.
So hearing all that, boy, I wanted to go so bad, but ended up having the little ones and everything else, and it rained, and I never ended up getting to go. So, it just always kind of stuck with me, everything me and her had talked about, you know, and there was other things that she had told me. And me and you were talking about locations and stuff, and I brought that one up. So next time I went through, I stopped and talked to the owner. And he was telling me even more stuff. And I asked him, you know, if it'd be okay if we come out and everything, and he agreed, so... Which he was telling me even more, because they had this queen lining the trail.
Right.
And they had a rope also going for you to hold on to the rope as you walk, so you didn't get lost or anything else. And the this queen would actually, and it was up, you know, good from what they've told me, but it actually come down on people, and, you know, they would be trapped in it. They'd have to come out there and get them out. And there was other people.
And according to him, there was no wind or anything like that. Now, is it possible that they just didn't tie it correctly in places? Yeah, it's possible. But with all the other stuff that he claimed, it kind of does give a little credence to maybe there was something there that didn't want them there. And I remember you called me, and I was like, holy cow. I mean, there's claims of Native American. Supposedly, the property was on the border between the Choctaw Indians and the Cherokee Indian tribes. And one night, some Cherokee Indians snuck over to the Choctaw side and slaughtered a tribe. That's one of the claims.
Didn't he also say it was to do with, like, one of the Cherokee and Choctaws had fallen in love with each other?
Yeah.
Or he said it was rumored or something like that? And that was the reasoning for it?
Well, a lot of the claims, a lot of the history claims folklore and rumor. Now the claims that of what happened to them, you know, that's firsthand.
Yeah.
So we got to kind of, but you know, there's rumored to be slave hangings there. I won't get into any more detail than that on that. There was satanic worship by teenagers there regarding a Ouija board, and I remember the first thing you told me, and I assume that he told you. And the first thing he told me when I met him was, "I don't want you guys using any Ouija boards."
Yeah.
Which we don't. I really don't believe in the Ouija board. I believe it's the people, and soon we'll have an expert on the Ouija board here on the show here pretty soon. But I mean the claims, and I posted it on our Facebook page. The claims continue from I think he said a drowning maybe. I know there was supposed suicide. Just the list of claims go on, but their experiences. And here's the thing: the place was already haunted. They already had some paranormal activity prior to them doing the haunted trail. They just didn't think it would be that bad and get that bad to where people were quitting the tour because they were so scared. And all the other paranormal activity that went on while they were doing this tour. They actually had to shut down this haunted trail tour. And it's a property, and there is activity in the house. We're not at this time able to get into the house because he's fearful that something might attach itself to his family, and he don't want to go through all that. But we are allowed to investigate the property, which is this big pine forest. It's really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But we went out there, Saturday, Melissa, for the interview?
Yes.
We went out there Saturday for the interview, and we're standing in this forest. And Melissa, I know you remember, I jumped and turned because I could have swore.
Yep.
I saw, I mean, I still swear to this day that I saw someone, a black shape. I don't remember seeing a head, but I remember out the corner of my eye, I saw arms and legs dart between the trees.
Yeah.
And I was feeling queasy the minute I got on the property. When we were inside the establishment doing our interview, and then when he took us to the area where the satanic worship was taking place, I know you remember I got a headache, and
yeah,
I remember telling you about that, and it went away the minute we left.
And you also had tunnel vision and. Kind of
yeah.
got the shape when we were doing the interview also.
Yeah, when we were in
the
establishment.
Another thing I find interesting is when we both went into the building, you said when we first got there, the building was cold to you. But whenever we first went in, it was burning up to me.
Well, that's the thing, because as we were wrapping up the interview, it got to feel hot. And like I said, I was getting the tunnel vision, and I could feel the clamminess and the kind of the sweats going on, and along with the dizziness. At the time, we kind of associated with the fact that maybe I didn't eat enough during the day.
Yeah.
But you know, I got to thinking about it, and I spoke with your mother, who is a member of our team and a founder also. I spoke to her about it, and she is... She's a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom.
Yes.
She's a paramedic.
Okay. Well, she said, you know, I told her about the incident with the headache,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, first of all, if it was a headache brought on by, you know, food or hunger or everything, it would have stayed. It wouldn't have went away as soon as we left the property.
Yeah.
And I kind of got to thinking about that a lot, and I'm like, you know, she's right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
now, I can't say that was paranormal because I don't have any concrete proof of that. Was it an odd occurrence? Yeah, you know, it was an odd occurrence. The main thing is we're going to go here Saturday, and we're going to investigate, and we're going to see what we do. Now, we have full permission to this property. This property is pretty much locked down as ours anytime we want. The guy is really great guy. He basically gave us free roam over the property. We can go out there anytime we want. He even told us if we wanted to camp out there, we could, which I don't know if there's that much, you know, activity if I'd want to bring my kids out there, but I think it's going to be a really good investigation. It's going to be myself, you, Melissa, and your husband Jamie, who is kind of like an honorary member of the team. And then after that, and this is where, you know, like I said, this topic of this show is Sasquatch. This is where this comes in. After that, we are returning to a location that we went to, you and I went to Sunday night. Was it Sunday night? Yeah. We went to Sunday night, you and I.
No, it was Friday night. It was the night before the interview. It was Friday night.
I think you're right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm totally lost. But we went to a location Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa lives on a piece of land where she is her property. You have how many acres again, Melissa?
I think it's 25.
And it's mostly wooded.
Yes.
And no one else really goes on to this property but
mm-hmm.
you. You go hunting on this property during the winter.
Yes.
That's another reason why this incident was particularly frightful for us, because this is basically Melissa's backyard.
Yes.
And it's very, 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 very thick wood. There's a lot of streams. We found a pond even when we went scouting that day. It's hardwood. There's areas that are marshy. You and I, we went out there during that day. We looked around, and I'm like, this area, it looks perfect for Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. I was so surprised at how many trails and paths. And we were looking around, and we found some interesting things. We found some possible footprints. We found tree breaks. And I know you remember the one that I showed you. I mean, that had to be, what, 8-9 feet? And that tree was
mm-hmm.
just snapped.
Yep.
One thing that you pointed out was how a couple of trees, the bark was missing, and it was missing real high up, about 7 feet or so.
And there was no bark on the ground.
Yeah, you pointed that out. I didn't notice that at first.
That blows my mind, the amount of bark that was missing and it not to be on the ground. And it doesn't look like it's, you know, it's not like it was done a long time ago and the bark, you know, would have time to disintegrate or something. It's kind of fresh looking, but no bark. I find that very odd.
I didn't even think about that at first. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of, I mean, you remember, I was floored mm-hmm. by all the stuff that I was seeing and how great the area that we were in was. So we decided that we're going to go out there at night. And originally, we had planned to go back into the same area, the wooded area,
mm-hmm.
originally. But, you know, we get out there and it was dark as hell. Ooh, I mean, it's pitch dark, and I'm like, Melissa, I don't think I want to go traipsing through the thick woods as dark as this is, you know. So, we decided to go on the trail, which leads to your deer stand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're walking along the trail, and.
There's actually two trails. There's the main trail, which is
large enough
to carry a tractor down. And then I have another trail that cuts through the woods.
Yeah, and that's
going down the large trail.
Yeah, and that's significant to the story. Now, the large trail that we're on, for the most part, we're walking. It's hard grass up to a certain point. The trail goes and then it curves to the left, and it runs parallel to a field, another person's property, which is a field that's been planted specifically for deer, and a lot of the wood has been clear cut. But in between,
a pond was put in, and I've
right.
stopped.
But in between our trail that we're on and that field is a section of marshy woods,
mm-hmm.
probably about, I'd say about 3/4 of a football field wide. So we're walking along and we make that curve. And when I see the curve, I remember I told you, I said, well, I'm not sure. I asked you if you want to stay there. And you said, no, you want to go to the deer stand. And
yeah.
I said, well, if we're going to go to the deer stand, I'm not going to do any sounds or any calls here because I don't want to have to walk through something that we stir up.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to do any sounds or anything until we actually locked down where we were going to be. So we decided to continue, you know, in the left-handed L curve, and it went from grass to crunchy, crunchy leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling you, you know, this is going to make a lot of noise, us walking on these leaves. And not even 5 steps after I said that, we hear this humongous, well, first we heard dogs way, way off in the distance, but then we hear this humongous roar. I mean, I can try to imitate it. It was like, excuse me. That hurts my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Very loud, very close. Scared the crap out of both of us.
Yeah.
And I remember you, Melissa. You started to run a little bit, and you kind of got behind me. And I remember reaching out to grab your arm, and then I don't know, just out of instinct, I kind of roared back at this thing, which probably was a foolish thing to do at the time. Looking back on it now, I mean, this thing could have took it as a threat and whatever it was. But remarkably, there was no other sound, no noise in the woods. So we hesitantly continued on to the deer stand, which was probably about another, what, quarter mile away?
Yeah.
And the whole time, I mean...
It's so funny. Because I'm constantly turning around, shining the light behind us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just felt like there was something following us. So we got to the deer stand. And, I mean, we're still... I mean, we're really... I mean, I'm to the point of kind of shaking a little bit because it was so close and so loud. Plus, it was cold, so that had a lot to do with it. So we're in this two-tier deer stand. Both of us are up there. and this was kind of humorous, but it wasn't humorous at the time because we were kind of freaking out and scared. But both of us are in this deer stand as best we can. And we keep hearing these what sounds like footfalls off to the left-hand side of us, kind of behind us. And, you know, at this point, we turned off our headlamps. We were sitting there in complete dark. And I really didn't know. I wish I'd had my digital recorder on the whole time that we left. And from now on, I will know that. But, I mean, we weren't expecting to run into anything along the way to where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really didn't know what to do at this time because I'm feeling, you know, to be honest with you, Melissa, I felt more exposed in that deer stand than if I was on the ground. And I guess the only reason why is because I felt like on the ground I could have ran.
Yeah.
As opposed to being trapped up in the deer stand. So, you know, about, what, 5, 10 minutes goes by. Well, not even that long. It was only about, 5 minutes that went by from the time of the howl. From the time of the howl to the time of the next thing we heard was 10 minutes in total. So we were only in stand maybe 5 minutes, and we heard what sounded like a coyote literally getting its ass handed to it. I mean, just it sounded like it was just getting ripped apart. And that sound, I mean, aside from the sound, that the roar that we heard that roared at us, that coyote sound alone just kind of sent, it got us on full alert. There was something out there that was obviously violent to some sense. So we're sitting there and really, I mean, we're just really nervous. It's funny looking back on it now, but at the time, it was a little hairy. And about another 5 minutes go by, and we hear coyotes again. Only this time, they're doing the normal coyote routine and the yipes and the howls. And we unfortunately had got a phone call. We had to leave. We had to return back to the house. And I remember we got down off of that thing, and we're just scanning. We turned our headlamps on at this point in time. We're scanning everywhere. I was nervous. I'll be honest with you, Melissa. I was nervous climbing down off that thing. And you know I dropped my night vision monocular. Now, we were using the night vision monocular, but we didn't have any actually headlamps or anything on when we were in the stand. But I dropped that thing climbing down out the deer stand. I was nervous. In fact, when it hit the ground, it scared the crap out of me. I didn't tell you that at the time, but I was nervous because I was kind of expecting something to go on the minute I touched the ground.
Yeah.
So you climb down, and I'm starting to head back the way we came, which is the big trail, the main trail. And I remember this so clearly. I remember you saying, "I am not going back the way we came." Mm-mm. And I was kind of like, "Okay, well, what do you want to do?" And you're like, "We're going to cut through the other trail, which is through deep, thick woods." Which
you did not.
I didn't. I really didn't. And I'm like, "What the hell are you thinking, Melissa?" I'm like, this is right through the area where we heard the coyote getting tore up and all that. And, you know, the whole time we're hearing, we're in the deer stand, we heard footfall that sounded like bipedal. But the whole time we're hearing other footfall, you know, more like the coyotes or whatever. So, reluctantly, I went along with you. And we're going through it. And I remember at one point going through there, you stopped. And, like, you're looking around. I'm like, oh, my God, are we lost? I'm like, are we lost out here in the middle of these thick? Because we had got lost that day during daylight scouting the area. And I just, I'm a man, yeah. I know that men are supposed to be tough and macho. And I am tough and macho. But you guys, if you would have heard this roar to begin with, and then the sound of that coyote, I mean, I think that would have put a little fear into any man. And more importantly, I was fearful for you because, I didn't want anything to happen to you either. So, I remember, I'm like, are we lost? And in fact, I did have my digital recorder on a couple of times. And, I listened to it again last night. And I heard the part where I was climbing down from the stand. And my breathing was it was hilarious listening to it because my breathing was like like what you'd imagine on Blair Witch Project, with the girl with the snot running out of her nose and stuff. So I finally we make it through the wooded trail back onto a higher part of the main big trail, and we're walking along, and I don't carry a gun. Because I don't want to take a risk of shooting anyone. But what I do carry, you guys, and Melissa, I carry firecrackers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why, because it makes pretty much the same sound as a gun, but without the bullets. And in my opinion, when you have an animal, you know, approaching you or something, you fire a gun, it's not the bullet or the flash that scares them away. It's the sound, you know, because they can't see the bullet. So we're walking along, and you just stop, freeze, and I'm going to tell you straight up, Melissa, every time you would stop and freeze, I would get chills going up my back.
And y'all have to understand, when we got out of the deer stand and decided to go to through the woods, I told him, I'm not stopping.
But when you did stop, it instantly said, okay, what the hell is she seeing? You know, is she seeing something? And I'm sitting there, I'm scanning, I'm like, what? Why are you stopping? So, it's funny, but it's scary. So you stopped that one time, and I actually had the recorder on then, and we heard crunching in the woods, and it was loud, and it was close, and even I was like, what the hell? And you could hear me on the recorder. I'm like, what the hell is that? And that's when I lit the firecracker up, and I threw it, and this is what I find interesting. There was no more footfall.
Yeah.
In other words,
that's one thing that really amazed me is, you know, normally whenever you hear pow, you hear them run away.
Yeah.
Well, when it went pow, nothing.
It's like
it just
froze.
Not run.
Yeah. And that was creepy too. So, you know, we get back to Melissa's place, and we're both just like full on freight train adrenaline at this point in time. So we get back to Melissa's place, and you know it's time. She goes off to her bedroom, and I lay on the couch. Now, and I remember I told you about this next morning. Let's just say the next morning, Melissa woke up. She came into the living room, and she's like, "Why are the curtains closed on my living room window?" Now, I'm telling you, this roar really, really got to me. I've never heard anything like it in my life. Melissa, you've hunted most of your life also, and you told me that you've never heard anything like that either.
I have never heard anything like that, and nothing has ever, I cannot remember a time in my life that internal instinct of fight or flight has kicked in, you know, to make me want to run. But when I heard that noise, it made me want to run. And I had to really, like, reach down deep and get some control not to take off running. To just kind of, you know, take a step back and stand there.
Yeah, and it's like I told you, you know, afterwards, you know, when you run, you become prey, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
If it's a predatory animal, when you run, you instantly become prey. So you have to stand your ground. But we woke up next morning, you're like, why are the curtains closed on my living room? And this is a big-ass window. It's just one big pane. And here's the thing, and I kind of told you about it a little bit, but I was laying there and I'm reaping that sound. I could not get that roar out of my head. Still to this day, anytime I think about it, you know, I just can't get it out of my head. So I'm laying there and I'm thinking about the sound. I'm thinking about what it could have been, and I'm replaying all these in my head, all these Sasquatch reports that I'd heard, and about how they go up to houses and they peek through the windows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I know what I believe it was. I do believe it was a Sasquatch, and I know that thing knew we were out there. I know that it was kind of shadowing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fearful that this thing might, because it's your land, it's your property, you know, it's about a half a mile from your house into the woods. So I just kind of had a feeling that this thing was going to follow us. And I didn't want to wake up and look over and see something peeking through the damn window on me.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I really, really had the chills that night. You know, and so the next morning, we decide to head out there during the daylight. And we took our camcorder with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go out there, and we had the pit bull with us. Now, when we got to the area where we heard, and I had this on, I have this on the camcorder also. I didn't post it on our Facebook page because I didn't find it significant
mm-hmm.
enough. It was interesting. But when we first got out there, that pit bull was on full alert. She did not want to go into those woods.
You have to understand about this dog, too. She's a big baby. I mean, she's my lap dog, you know. She's real lovable. She doesn't growl and bark at anything. But she has...
Melissa
no
has two Melissa has two cats that live in the house with this pit bull.
Yeah, the cats beat the dog up. But she has, on occasion, just all of a sudden gone at full attention in the house, staring at a window and just growl. And, I mean, it's really unlike her. I mean, she licks you to death. She's not aggressive at all.
See, this is the first I hear about that. I wish I'd have known that,
yeah,
you know,
I
previously.
Didn't. Jamie brought that up the other day, you know, after
that's
encounter
Melissa.
At the woods. He brought it up and reminded me about it. But, you know, and we're like, you know, what is it? And, I mean, the curtains and everything will be closed, but she will stare at the window and growl.
Well, I mean, their hearing is much more tuned than ours. And I also think that dogs in particular, certain animals, have this kind of sense about them. I wish I'd have known that. I really, and that's very important for when we go out there Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to what took place. We go out there the next morning, and we're walking around, and we're looking everywhere for tracks. We saw a lot of large, I mean, very large, even larger than the pit bull tracks,
mm-hmm.
Out there. And very recent, because, see, we had been out there that day, and then we went the next morning, and these tracks were in areas that we had already been and looked.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going out there, we're noticing tree breaks, we're noticing trees bent over in different places, different directions. It's on the video on our Facebook page. And then we go and we discover that just on the other side of this marshy tree area is this big clear-cut land with a big pond and this huge, huge, beautifully green plotted field. So, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to figure out if it was a Sasquatch, what was it doing? And at that time, I told Melissa it had to be sitting there because obviously we came behind it, and then when we got to the crunchy leaves, it heard us, and that's when it reacted.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured at the time it was probably sitting there along that tree line, scoping out that field across the way for deer or waiting for deer to pass through or something along, you know, along those lines. So we continue looking, and we get out onto this farmer's clay road. The ground was kind of hard, but there were certain areas that were soft. And we found this one particular track, which had a heel impression and a ball impression with what looked like toenails or claws. But there was no middle, like a flat foot connecting the two. Now, I know that Sasquatch, they have the mid-tarsal break in their feet where they can, you know, bend up the midsection of their foot. But what threw me off of it being, and it was a small print, and I've seen small Sasquatch prints, but I've never seen any with toenails or like claws. And I found that really interesting. And that you can also see in the video on our Facebook page. So we go back into the woods, and we're still looking around. And I kind of break off from you because, you know, you had the kids with you, and I didn't want them into where I was going. So I found a tree, and this is in the video, which had these very, very weird holes in it. And a lot of people will look at the video and say, well, that's just holes in a tree. But if you've been in the woods enough and you look at that tree, you can tell that those holes in that tree, they look like somebody shot it with a pistol, but all the wood, all the bark was gone around the holes, but all the wood, the timber around the holes was bent outward, not inward. So something pried into that. You know, and I put my finger in it.
I was with you because I remember you stuck like your whole finger in one of the holes.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had separated a few times, and I couldn't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But this area of this tree, it went from the low ground, I'd say about 6 inches off the ground, to about 8 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I've seen woodpeckers. I know woodpeckers and what their holes look like. They are nowhere near that big. This looks like something either took a stick or a nail or a fingernail or something and poked and dug out that hole. Those holes. Which I found was very, very interesting. And the tree, I wouldn't call it a really, really healthy tree. It looked like an older tree. I could see where something would be looking for bugs or something underneath the bark or in the tree. I can't speculate. Now, if you guys hear that, that's Melissa has a 1-year-old baby. That's what that sound is that she's caring for at the same time. But I can't sit here and say exactly what was going on with the tree, whether it is substantial to the roar we heard. It is in the exact area where we heard the roar from. Could it be possible that whatever we heard was there at that tree? Digging in it?
It's possible.
And we spooked it? Yeah, I believe. I mean, Melissa, you were there. You know exactly where that tree was exactly straight position where we heard the roar from.
And another thing is the dog was, like, drawn to that area. She kept trying to go back.
She smelled something. Yeah.
When we first went out there, I had her on the leash. And when we were getting ready to start to head back, and not quite ready to head back, but, you know, about the time we were, I turned her off the leash, and she kept going back to that same area.
Yeah, and this dog listens. I mean, you snap your fingers, you say, come, mm-hmm. This dog is there. And it took a good for us to get her to cooperate and come out of the woods.
And she would keep her nose. I mean, she was smelling something that.
But what I found was odd was, I mean, we had walked different areas of that same marshy area, and she was reluctant at first to go into that area, but she didn't show any signs until we went to the area around that tree, and that's when mm-hmm. she just nosed to the ground. I mean, she was literally almost rooting her nose into mm-hmm. the dirt. sniffing something. Is it definitive proof? No. Is it interesting? Yes. Jason is in the chat room. He's asking us, did the dog seem nervous at all? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Mostly when we were first going into the area. But, mm-hmm. I mean, even when she was sniffing around, it wasn't a normal. When she was rooting around in the dirt, it wasn't a normal way a dog would go and sniff something. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, this was like, yeah, it just all of these little puzzle pieces. Now Dennis is in the chat room also. Did the dog want to follow a path away from everyone else? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All these little puzzle pieces, and that's what they are. They're puzzle pieces, you know. I don't know what the roar was. I do know that something roared at us. I don't know what the track was. I do know that we found a track. I don't know what the holes in the tree, what significance that was, or what caused it. I do know that I found that. All the little puzzle pieces, the way everything fell together in that time frame, can I definitively say that it was a Sasquatch? No. Do I believe that's what it was? Yes. After going with you, Melissa, looking at the area that day, then everything that happened that night, and then the next day when we went back, I really don't know what else it could be.
Mm-mm. Well, that's like, afterwards, I've never heard a sound like that before, ever. And I went online and continuously just went through a bunch of, you know, animal sounds, animal roars and everything else.
Yeah, you went investigating different sounds.
Yeah, because I've never heard a sound like that. And the absolute closest thing that I found to it was a gorilla. And I mean,
yeah, we actually posted, you sent me that.
Yeah.
That YouTube video of the sound and of the gorilla sounds. Well, there's multiple sounds on it, but if you listen for the gorilla sound, it's the second roar that he does. And we posted that on our Facebook page as well. And when I heard that, because you said, just listen for the gorilla. You didn't tell me anything else. You just said, listen for the gorilla. And so I listened to it, and it did one low roar, and then it did a louder, higher-pitched one. And I remember telling you it's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yep, exactly. Dennis, again, in the chat room, he's asking, was this a one-time incident, and can you return to the spot and investigate? This is the first time we had been to this particular location, so yes, it was a one-time incident in this particular location. Now, we've had Squatch, you know, activity, howls and knocks and stuff like that in other areas. But this is the first time I've ever heard a roar. And I mean, I was scared, but I was also kind of stoked. It's like, hell yeah, you know. It's something that I can actually say that I heard in my lifetime. Can we return to the spot anytime we want and investigate? At the beginning of the segment, I had explained, and Dennis came in a little bit late, this is Melissa's property. She owns like 25-26 acres of land. Her home is up at the front of the property, and the rest of it is kind of off to the back left, I guess, what, left hand side, Melissa, of your home. So yeah, we can go there anytime we want. Uh, can you do trap cams? I don't have trap cams at this time. We're in the process of trying to get some trap cams, some game cams. I mean, Dennis, man, I don't know where you're located, but you know, if you get in the area, you're more than welcome to. Yeah, man, send it. Well, funding is a little funny right now. I'm currently in the process of getting some legal things taken care of. So, Richmond, Virginia. Dennis is from Richmond, Virginia. I used to live in Newport News, Virginia. So I know exactly where you are. But, man, listen, if you ever get down this area, hit me up. I know you're on my Facebook. You're more than welcome to join in. My issue with this area, and this is what kind of worries me, is, you know, in summertime, everything thickens up around here, and snakes are, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Melissa, you and I had talked about some snake-proof boots, and I told you that I was actually thinking about making my own, and I'm really, really, really leaning towards that. Now, I am highly allergic to poison ivy, though. I mean, there's a lot of fact, and you guys that do this squashing, especially if you do it, Dennis, in Virginia, you know, I know how Virginia weather is. It's actually hotter there and muggier there in the summer than it is here. So I know what's going on in Virginia. But you guys in the South, you know what I'm talking about. Now, maybe Washington State, you know, or Oregon, maybe it's different there. I don't know. I've never been. But down here in the South, man, everything gets thick. You got poison oak, poison ivy everywhere. Here we have abundant. We have rattlesnake. We have copperhead. We have cottonmouth. All aggressive, venomous snakes. And that's what kind of frustrates me so much. It's because I know it's already warming up here, and I feel like the window is kind of starting to close on us. You know, if we keep our trail trimmed down, we could still go there along the trail carefully at night.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting into the deep woods, I don't think we'll be able to get in this. Excuse me, deep woods at night. I know, like I said, Saturday we're going back out there after our paranormal investigation at the property that I mentioned at the top of the show. We're going back out there to Melissa's property, and we're going to see if we get anything. And this time, guys, I'm going to have my digital recorder running the whole time. I don't have a night vision camera yet, but I will bring as much as I can to kind of catch as much evidence as I can. Jason says, if you don't like the weather, try New England. If you don't like the weather, wait a sec. I actually lived for a little while in Connecticut, Jason, so I know what you're talking about there too. And I had a girlfriend at the time that stayed in New York, so yeah, I'm really familiar with all those areas. The property, Dennis is asking where is the property. I don't want to give out the exact location of the property, Dennis. You know, in private, I would be more than happy to. But we're located in Mississippi. North Central Mississippi, right, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
Melissa's been here a lot longer than I have. So yeah, we're in the northern part of Mississippi.
Dad. I think it's actually northeast Mississippi.
Yeah, but we're kind of in the center up top anyway. But, you know, the thing is, and Melissa, I've told you this many, many times. I mean, I was there today helping you pack some stuff and move some stuff. I can't get that sound out of my head. And I'll tell you one thing. It's changed. It's changed me, and when I go outside at night, when I go outside, even to smoke a cigarette, yes, I know I smoke, I should quit, blah, 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 okay, whatever, this isn't a public service announcement, but, you know, when I go outside to smoke a cigarette, even, it's changed. I mean, I'm more alert now than what I would have been before. I'm more aware that there's things out there that I don't. I mean, I always knew. You know, I've seen Sasquatch before. I've heard them howl, but the roar kind of changed that aspect of it for me. You know, it kind of showed me a more, and I wouldn't say aggressive, but I don't think it was aggressive. I mean, do you, Melissa?
I think it was just startled.
Yeah, and more of a territorial type thing.
Yeah, it was.
Like, hey, I'm here, don't come too much closer.
I think it was just to, you know, I don't know, it's like if somebody snuck up in your house in the middle of the night, you know, you're going to holler at them. You know,
Jason says we should try getting a soundbite of your baby, Jalen, laughing or playing and blasted. And if, he says if there's one around us, it'll reply 90% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting.
I've wondered about something like that, or like I've heard before to use like a baby crying.
Well, here's the bad thing about
that. This is the thing. This is my backyard. I mean, my kids go out
there
and play, and I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. You don't want this thing associating that sound with.
Yeah.
You know she. In fact, she looked up some stuff the other day about Sasquatch abducting children. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
She. And even the next day after we heard all this noise, the kids wanted to play out in the backyard, which this wood, this forest area surrounds the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you remember that. I mean, I didn't feel comfortable with them being out there, especially
mm-hmm.
alone, after what we had heard that night. But here's what I do plan on doing. I've read some reports. And guys, if you know anything about this, if you're listening, call in. If you have other possibilities, call in with that too. But, you know, you guys in the chat room, Jason, Dennis, I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard reports that people have been fishing, Sasquatch comes, scares them off, and begins eating their catfish bait. And along with whatever fish they might have caught that might be up on the bank. But what they're referring to is, and Melissa, I know you know what I'm talking about. If you go to the store and you buy these bags of catfish bait, some of it comes in balls. And you can also buy jars, you know, almost like peanut butter style jars. And this stuff smells like ass, literally. But from what I've read, Sasquatch are attracted to it. I do also know that right now I've read that this is, quote, mating season for Sasquatch, which anything during mating season, male in particular, is going to be a slightly more aggressive. So that's the kind of concern right now. And it might also explain the increased activity, if you will, activity that I didn't expect us to get out there. I mean, that was so unreal. And I know you remember. I know we talked about this before, Melissa. But having that happen to me, it was just awesome. I mean, that's the only thing I can say about it was just awesome. It's a once in a lifetime experience. Hopefully not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Hopefully we'll get some more. But even if it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, that's one for the record books. That's a memory there that will last forever. I know with me, anyway. Guys, let me make a point that I don't think we made when we originally. We could feel the vibrations from this roar.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's literally like You could feel it. It went through you. You could literally feel it.
I was so shocked. I mean, I was so shocked because, you know, here we are. We get to the leaf part. Our feet start crunching the leaves, and we're listening for sounds, but we're listening for sounds far off because we hear dogs far off. Very, very low, but we can hear the dogs far off. So we're thinking,
we had even discussed if the howls we were hearing were actually even dogs.
Right. And we were hearing these howls and whatever way far off. So we weren't really expecting this that close to us. You know, it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like when you're staring at something far off, and then all of a sudden something jumps right in front of your face. It's pretty much the same feeling, but it was with sound. And this thing was just right there. It only roared one time, only once. And that kind of tells me, okay, this wasn't a dog, because a dog would continue to bark or but it wasn't a bark, but a dog would continue to make noise. Dennis is asking, since we aren't close to the Appalachian Trail, are we sure it was Squatch and not another cryptid? I don't know how close we are to the Appalachian Trail. I know that Tennessee is right above us, and I know that the mountain chain runs through there. I know I've lived in Tennessee for a little while. Here, this area is not flat land. There's a lot of rolling hills, a lot of ravines, things of that nature. How could it have been another cryptid? Probably so, but I don't know. I mean, I've never heard of any other cryptid animal being in this area. I know that there's DNA, and I probably shouldn't be saying it, but I know there's DNA samples from Mississippi that are about to be divulged. I know that all the way back in the 70s, one of the most infamous howls that is out there, and that is also on the BFRO.net website, it's called the Mississippi Howl. Common sense would tell you that's also from Mississippi. Jason had mentioned something that maybe it was a dogman. I've heard of dogman up north. I've never heard of anything down around this area. And I've always been skeptical of the Dogman 3. It just sounds too Hollywood to me. I've always assumed a dogman was just a Sasquatch that someone mistook for something else. And Jason, I know you're listening, and I see you in the chat room. If you want to come online with us, now would be the perfect time so we can discuss more about, because you're the one that first mentioned the Dogman theory to me. If you want to come online with me, just, you know, type in yes or hit me up on Facebook. And yeah, all right. Well, he's already online. He's already on the phone listening. So I'm just going to click over to him real quick. Hey, Jason, you there?
Yep, right here.
All right. You're here with me. Well, it's me, Brian. We and I had talked earlier, and Melissa's here as well.
Hi, Melissa.
I have to get to a question in the chat room. What's our opinion on a chupacabra video that has flooded Facebook lately out of Texas? I haven't seen that yet, Dennis.
I read the article earlier. I have not seen the video, but I read the article earlier, and I've seen a picture of it. Now, I know they were saying some stuff like, it could be like a coyote or something like that. But if you look at the picture, it does not look like that. what it would remind me of would be like.
Yeah,
a
you posted,
or
you shared.
Or something.
You're the one that
but
pointed out silly. To me, Melissa. You're the one that pointed out to me when I was at your house right before I left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is the one that was called Alive, Jason. I haven't looked into it. Things have been crazy. I mean, Melissa shared it, but even she hasn't had a chance to actually look into it because, I mean, we had a crazy day and then had to prep for the show. I will look into
it. I just read the article.
That,
I have not seen the video, but I saw the picture.
The little snippet post or whatever that you showed me, Melissa, it looks like other chupacabra pictures and videos and images that I had seen previously. Although they were brief, there was one dead one I believe that they found or whatever. It looks like the same. It looks like the same creature to me. Now keep in mind that there are two different versions of chupacabra depending on where you are. You know, if you're in Mexico and Texas, it's more like a dog. The original chupacabra began in Puerto Rico, and this was a lizard-like creature with spikes along its back. So, whether this should even be called a chupacabra, we don't know. Maybe it should be called something else. But the chupacabra that we know of is, I mean, usually when I think of what they found, the image that I saw, to me that's not a chupacabra. That's a dog type thing that they just gave the name chupacabra. A chupacabra to me is an alien looking thing from Puerto Rico with the spikes on it. But I haven't looked at that video yet, Dennis. I plan to. Jason, I apologize for that. We kind of got off a little bit. You had mentioned earlier about the dog man. I don't know much about the dog man other than from shows. I haven't done the research on it like I have the Sasquatch. But I have seen shows like Monster Quest. What's that show that... Mountain Monsters, Monsters and Mystery in America. I've seen shows like that where they highlight the dogman, and I just kind of blow that off because, like I said, I don't know, man. I just can't put too much stock in a half man, half dog. You know, to me, the genetics of it just seem impossible. Now, a Sasquatch, something closer to our genealogy, yes, I can see something like that.
Yeah, thoughts of a dog man would be, I mean, I've seen photos of someone who claims that they was followed miles through the woods by this subject, and he actually had a very clever idea, and I was highly impressed. He put a video camera on his pointing backwards on his head. I don't know if it was a GoPro or what have you, but it makes perfect sense because any alpha predator.
That's interesting because I mean, Melissa can tell you. I mean, we were basically looking over our shoulders at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I have read reports of people in cars. They can see things. And the taillights run behind them. People walking, like you said, this guy. Something moving behind him after he passes.
Well, most alpha predators will come up behind anything that they find as a prey item. And
that's right.
It goes all over the world, no matter if it's anywhere from a wolf to a killer whale. They'll all do the same thing. So this guy had a camera mounted pointing backwards, and he got, I saw two still frames from the footage, and showed what absolutely looked like a upright bipedal subject with what looked like a dog's head. My only theory of,
Forgive me for
the one thing pops.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to elaborate a little bit on the introduction for you. Now you're with the Crypto Crew, right?
That's correct. Yes.
And you're also a fellow team member with the Renegade Bigfoot Society.
Yes.
With myself and with Billy.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah, Billy Mills and I have been friends for a while, and I was fortunate enough for him to get me to join and made me an administrator of the group, and I've had a good time.
I wanted to give that little background to people, so you know when you say that you've seen these videos, they know why you would have seen these videos.
Yeah, I guess I would. I don't want to toot any horns, but I'm not what you would call a. And not to say there's anything wrong with it, but I'm not an armchair researcher. I go out there, but I also do my fair share of homework at home, online, or whatever. Because, you know, as they say, if it's online, it's going to be true. Anyway, the still shots of this video that I saw was a bipedal thing with a wolf head, a dog-like head. I don't know a whole lot about the subject. I primarily do Bigfoot research. The one
right.
thing that keeps on coming to my mind is I can't help but think that this would be another species of Bigfoot. You know, you have your swan or your skunk ape, you have the Yowie, Yeren, Orang Pendek. I mean, they're all different species of what would be the same type of creature. I mean, the difference between a Saint Bernard and a Chihuahua, I guess, would be a good way to compare.
Well, I think the thing that throws me off is, you know, there's descriptions of, you know, a dog-like snout, and then, of course, dog-like ears. And I don't know, it's just, I often wonder if they're just misinterpreting a Sasquatch, you know, in the fear of the moment, kind of flash-type thing, maybe seeing sagittal crest as an ear. I don't know. It's just hard for me to put my head around a werewolf. But,
yeah,
I mean, there's tales, even in Louisiana, the Rougarou, you know, there's tales of it being a Sasquatch to a werewolf, you know.
Yeah.
So... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, until it's proven, it's... No one can really put a definite finger on what the actual thing is. Like I said, as far as I only have theories in my head as far as Dogman goes. Obviously, no one's an expert in any of these subjects, but I'm much more knowledgeable in the Bigfoot area than I am with the Dogman because. In reality, the whole theory of that honestly scares the crap out of me.
I know. It does seem a little bit... Because to me, it would seem that it would have a little bit less humanity, if you will, than a Sasquatch.
Exactly. Exactly. More primal and vicious or whatever. They could have come about, like you said, misidentification of an actual Sasquatch, and people... seemed to think that it had a dog-like head, and it could have turned into an old wives' tale that the mothers, you know, hundreds of years ago would say, you better be good, or Dogman will come get you, or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
I don't know.
Growing up in South Louisiana, which is where I was born and lived a good portion of my younger life, we had always heard tales of... the Rougarou, and my grandparents actually called it something else. They called it a mongoloid, which, you know, it's not the correct terminology for it. But that's what we grew up knowing and hearing about. And I've heard so many tales about these things out there in the swamps, Louisiana, and the marsh. And what's weird about the Rougarou story is they combine voodoo with it and try to say that it's a spirit, that anybody could be it. And that's where it kind of starts losing me, you know. I don't know how much of the shape-shifting spiritual side of all that I buy into. I believe it's just a living, breathing animal, perhaps a Sasquatch out there in the marshes and swamps. As far as what we experienced that night, Melissa, you're still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I can't say what it was. You know, anything is pure speculation at this point. I do know it's something that I had not experienced ever in my life before. And I've been in these woods a lot. I've heard Bigfoot howls. We have heard wood knocks. We've had stuff thrown at us, but we've never heard a roar. It could have been anything, honestly, Jason, you know. On the cryptid side, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm well aware, and I know Melissa is well aware of a lot of the wildlife and the wildlife that inhabits this area. And this was nothing like anything that we know that inhabits this area. But, you know, I've got another call. Jason, I appreciate you calling in, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You can stay on the line if you
anytime.
Like. I mean, if you, I know
I'll
that
stay,
you...
I'll stay on the line, and I actually, I had a couple of questions.
You're more than willing.
In the chat room.
I'm sorry?
I said I had a couple questions, but I can ask in the chat room, and when you get
well,
around
no,
you can,
you,
you
can, what I'm saying is you can stay on the air with us. This is, Dennis has called in, and I'm going to bring him on, so it's going to be all four of us, actually.
On
the air.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Dennis, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, no problem at all, brother. No problem.
There's four of us on the air right now. It's myself, Melissa, you, of course, and Jason is still on the air, too. So we're... You know, we'll just have to give each other a little time to speak.
Oh, well, given that it's all a call-in show, as long as everybody understands there's a moment of dead silence and then it becomes a overlap, I'm good with it. I think I've been here before.
I'm barely able to hear you, Dennis. I don't know if it's your mic or...
All right, let me reposition. How does that sound?
Oh, that's much, much better.
Okay. All right, well, throughout the world, there are thoughts of the same exact thing. You know, the Rougarou down in the mid-south. You have Squatch up in the northwest. Bigfoot is... like the Northeast. When you go overseas, he's actually known by dozens of different names, but it's still the same creature that,
correct.
Well, they believe. One of the biggest things is they believe that he runs the Adirondack Trail. You know, hikers have consistently seen him. Now, one of the strangest stories that I've heard was somebody that I actually put a lot of stock in as a paranormal investigator, both, well, they do UFO investigations, they do, you know, paranormal ghost hunts, and they were actually on a ghost hunt at a Civil War bridge known as Grapevine Bridge, maybe 4 miles from my house.
Right.
Now, Great Bayonne Bridge, back for the Civil War. I'll give some info on that. It was utilized as kind of a marker between where the North held ground and where the South held ground.
Right.
So he went there knowing that there had been battles, set himself mid-bridge, set up a recorder at each end of the bridge, you know, see if he could get EVPs from north or south or anything. One of his claims was that he saw a, when he was leaving, a very large 7 to 8 foot creature leap over his vehicle.
Bipedal?
Bipedal. Claimed that he saw as he looked back to make sure that, you know, the rest of his crew was coming with him. Of course, you know, they're bugging out and they have all the cameras down and everything else. So there's no camera footage on it. But his claim is that as he looked in the mirror and looked behind him and make sure that the rest of his crew had turned on their headlights, you know, one or two other vehicles, whatever, he claimed that he turned his head over his right shoulder to look back and saw a bipedal something come out of the wood line and leap completely over his vehicle and did not make contact.
See, that's very interesting that you say that because, in fact, on last week's show, I think I did mention on the show, I'm not sure, but I know I mentioned it to Billy. I have a neighbor who lives about a mile from me, and this man is an actual preacher. And one day he just come over and asked me if I was experiencing anything weird in the area. And, you know, I talked to him about howls and stuff like that. And he said that his sister... now his property kind of borders on my, there's a ravine between my where I live and where he lives. He said that his sister was leaving his home one night and had the same exact experience as what you just described, but it was something brown. Leaped in front of her and over the front of her car, and it scared her so bad that she just turned turned around and went back to his house and would not leave his house again until daylight. It's interesting that it kind of coincides with what you had said, a little bit of the behavior. The fact that this man is a reverend, I have no reason to doubt his credibility. And you said these people went out there originally paranormal investigating, correct?
Correct. They just went out to see if they could get EVPs. There were six in the group. There were two in the forward vehicle that the driver said he saw it leap over the trunk of their car. Two people from the secondary car behind them claimed that they saw something run across the road and leap over the back of his car. You know, not everybody's looking at the same place at the same time. If all four people at once said that, yes, I saw it, then I would automatically call bullshit because not all four people are going to look at the same place simultaneously.
Well, this preacher that came over here and described his experience, the direction that the creature in this incident came from was towards my backyard and across the ravine, and I've had a lot of peculiar sounds, and me and my son was actually on the edge of my property here, and we had rocks thrown at us there. And it scared, I mean, it scared the crap out of both of us, really. But it was right, it was probably about 3 weeks after we had the rocks thrown at us that the preacher man came over and talked to me about the incident. And, you know, what's funny is I've heard many, many tales of Sasquatch, like people who go on to investigate hauntings, and it's more likely a Sasquatch occurrence. I've heard tales of Sasquatch frequenting graveyards even. And we are going out, when we went out to, when we're going out this weekend to this paranormal investigation, it's in the woods, and it's a pine, perfectly plotted in rows, pine forest. Now, when I was out there, I even told Melissa, it kind of gives you the effect of, I don't know, you guys' age, I assume is close to mine. You remember when you used to get the Cracker Jack prize and they had all those stripy lines and you move it a certain way and it looks like something's moving in the picture? These trees give you that same image of movement because of the way they're positioned. And certain things, certain claims that the owner told us, I remember telling Melissa several times that this might be a double shot. You know, we might be able to go out there and get paranormal activity, but there might also be Sasquatch activity. And this is based on some of the things that he told us was taking place there. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for, that we killed two birds with one stone. You know, I told them, I said, well, we have the perfect opportunity. Either we can go out there and we can get paranormal activity, or we can wind up getting some Sasquatch activity, or we can wind up getting both. You know, so either way it goes, us going out there is not going to be completely for nothing. And that's kind
of
what I'm
hoping. I'd love to be able to make it down to that neck of the woods.
Man, I would love.
I'm afraid. I'm so damn skinny, I'd be gator bait. It wouldn't amaze me. Y'all bastards would probably throw me out the boat. Just and giggle as I splash down.
Well, now that you mentioned that.
How big a gator y'all think he'll get?
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, I want to try to, I know Melissa and I with the team have discussed certain safety precautions. Jason, you're still on the air with us, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Dennis, I know that you're very fluent in all of this as well. I want to try to discuss a few safety factors, you know, because we might have listeners or just people who just come out of nowhere and think, oh, I'm going to go out there in the woods and look for Sasquatch. There are certain things that I believe that need to be addressed. You know, it's like I tell my guys, whatever you do, don't run. Because with any predatory animal, you know, when you run, you become prey. You present yourself as prey. Are there any kind of safety issues that you guys would also recommend?
Carry a 40 cal minimum.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't believe in carrying a gun because I don't want to accidentally shoot some dumbass out there who's trying to scare us, who find out where we're located and trying to scare us or hoax us or something like that. And the last thing I want to do is shoot my partner or anyone on my team. I do carry very large firecrackers.
Well, the question comes in, if you're running a team properly, you know where all members of the team are.
That's true. And it's funny, it's interesting because I remember just today I told Melissa, after the roar that we had, I think we are going to bring a firearm with us on this next investigation.
Now, what is your estimation on the distance of the roar? 50 feet, 100 feet, 1,000 feet? I mean, you had to have an echo back to give you some indication.
There was no echo back. That's how close this thing was. And Melissa, I'll let you explain, you know, I'll let you answer this question, Melissa. Melissa, you still there? Oh, I think we may have lost her.
Yay,
okay.
Blind talk.
Yeah, I know. But in my opinion, to answer the question, in my opinion, this, okay, she's calling back in. She's
right on top of you.
It was. She's calling back in. I'll try to get her back on the air and let her answer the question for us.
Hey.
Hey, Melissa.
No, my other.
Hello.
Hey, we lost you for a second there. Dennis was asking how close we thought this thing was, and if there should have been an echo back. And I told him there was no echo at all. And I'm going to let you.
There was no echo. I'm not good with, like, beat-wise or anything like that, but it was close. I mean, it was like you could literally feel the vibration from the roar. And, I mean, you literally felt the vibration. It just went completely through you.
If I had to guess at how close this thing was to us, I'd have to say 50 yards or less. It was that close, Dennis. I mean, I could throw a rock.
We probably would have been able to see it.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly.
I can stand and throw a rock and hit the spot that the howl came from where I was standing that night.
Well, then I definitely have to recommend that you carry some sort of defensive weapon. And, Melissa, that's what we were getting at. You know, they're like, how would you answer to that? And I'm like, or how would you defend yourself against something like that? But, yeah, 40 cal.
Okay, I want to address that if I can, Dennis. Here's my theory on that. All right. I believe that most Sasquatch know what guns are. I'm sure that they're out there. You got hunters out there. It's like I said last week, you know, this is why it's so hard to get a photo of Sasquatch. Because the first thing a person does with a gun is they put it up to their eye, pull the trigger, and something dies. The first thing you do with a camera is you lift it up to your eye. Now, Sasquatch is not going to know the difference in technology between a gun and a camera. So they're going to think anything that you put up to your eye, something's going to die. So this is why one reason why I hesitate on bringing a weapon out there with me, because I believe that they are, they do recognize a gun and understand what happens. I'm trying to explain it as best I can.
I understand that, but you also have to take in mind, you're talking about an animal that is in no way, shape or form, humane. So you
right.
have to protect your team.
But you know what?
I understand.
You know what? Even if you hit your dog one time with a stick, that dog is going to associate that stick with pain. You know, so
and
if a Sasquatch happens to be out there in the woods, yeah, if a Sasquatch happens to be out in the woods spying on a hunter, sees what takes place, it sees you out there with a gun. I think it's going to act much differently towards you with a gun than it would towards you without a gun. I think it's going to realize, like when we were out there, hey, they're no threat, but I just want to warn them away. as opposed to someone with a gun being the threat, if that makes sense. So I believe that carrying a gun kind of opens ourselves up to a little bit more aggressiveness.
But you have to understand, when we go out, we're not, like, you know, totally unarmed. We carry machetes with us, mace, you know, other type, just not firearms.
Right, right.
I'm the old backwoods kind of dude that, you know, so, I mean, I understand that, you know, carry sticks, carry machetes, I mean, something to protect yourselves. Now, keep in mind that you're talking a cryptid that is, well, supposedly known all over the world.
That's right.
It's a docile creature.
But how many reports? How many reports do we have of these things attacking people? I mean, that's not if you go and say it every. Not if you go and say it every.
It's a docile creature.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who say, well, you know, all these bear reports or Sasquatch reports that the government covers up, maybe a little, but I honestly believe for a Sasquatch to attack a person, that person has to be doing something really jacked up towards that Sasquatch.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If I'm out in the middle of the woods and I see an 8 or 9 foot tall creature, big hairy beast looking thing.
Yeah.
First thing I'm going to do is give him something to slip in. He's going to slip and fall in the poop that I dropped. Second, I still want to be able to defend myself. Now, there are no reports of, you know, Sasquatch, Bigfoot. None of them have ever actually attacked people.
Okay, let me explain this the way I explain it to a lot of my team. I don't fear getting attacked by Sasquatch. And here's why. And it's like I tell them, they're like, well, I don't want to go out there because I don't know what's out there at night. The same thing is out there at night that's out there during the day. It may be sleeping, but it's still there. And you can bet your ass if you're close enough to it during the day, it knows you're there. I really believe that if a Sasquatch wanted to attack us, even with a gun, there's very little you could do about it. Because I believe if they really want to get you, they can really sneak up on you, and they can really get you before you ever even see them. So I believe that carrying a weapon is good for your morale. It's good to help you relax. Ultimately, I don't think it's going to do shit. If a Sasquatch got pissed enough, and if there was enough of them that they wanted you. I mean, you know, I walk through the woods all the time at night. Even with this roar, I mean, Melissa, I don't know about you. I didn't feel like this thing was going to attack me.
No.
Did it scare the crap out of me? Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I roared back at it. That's how confident I was that we weren't going to get attacked. But
Try to bring it in, and, you know, I mean, one of the biggest things that we want to do is prove that these things are out there.
That's right.
You know, just like the Chupacabra video, we want to prove that the Chupacabra exists.
Right. We have
Bigfoot, Sasquatch, snowman, you know, all of them. We want to prove that they exist.
That's right. But to answer your question,
I'm not saying kill it, but
right.
I'm saying, one or two bones in the ground.
I would be more concerned. Right, I would be more concerned about a bear, a pack of coyotes, maybe a large cat. Then I would be more concerned about those attacking me than I would a Sasquatch. If you say bring a weapon for protection, and if it is protection against stuff like that, then yeah, I can see that. But like I said, I bring large firecrackers for the most part. The sound alone will scare, most anything off. We have about 19 minutes left. We have Matt also on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in.
Nah, man, you didn't have to bring me in with 19 minutes left.
Hey, no, it's cool, man. I mean, the show can keep going as long as I need it to.
Yeah,
I want to bring him in with 19 seconds. He has nothing valuable to contribute.
Matt, have you been listening to the conversation so far?
You know what? I've been listening since I called in. My laptop took a shit a little bit ago, and I don't have anything to actually listen online. Apparently, Dennis, and for everybody else, Brian, I don't know if you've seen how we broadcast our shows, is you can listen on any smart device. Well, Blog Talk's done and went and changed that too. So I have three smart devices here.
I thought you guys were on Blog Talk already, though.
No, we are. We're
yeah.
The night before you. We're on Wednesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, apparently they went to the J Player, which is not compatible with smart devices anymore. So, just FYI for everybody, you either have to call in or you have to listen online now. Good old Blog Talk.
Right.
Anyway, with what you're talking about, there's certain things I support and certain things that I'm just like, wow, I can't believe this in the crypto field. And in the crypto field, all right, you have game cameras that are set up by a lot of the teams that are Squatch Hunters. You have, like, all of a sudden, Not a single thing, a piece of tangible evidence has ever been caught. Secondly,
can I speak about the game cam theory for a second? Because I've said this on previous shows. I believe that Sasquatch are able to see these game cams. Most animals, even humans, we scan the horizon. If I had a game cam, now I've always been a Sasquatch enthusiast. Always. Researched it. I've been out in the field, on my own, by myself and with a couple of friends. Our team is basically just getting established. Dionys Knights Paranormal. But if I were if I had a game cam and if I were to set up a game cam, here's what I would do. I would find a large branch that overhangs a potential area or game trail. I would climb up that tree and I would position that game cam on that branch to where it's aiming down, to where you get an aerial view. And here's why. Because 9 times out of 10, animals will not look up. They will scan that horizon. And anything out of place on that horizon, they know it right off. Even deer. This is why deer stands work. Because deer, they just look horizontally. They will not look up. Unless you make a sound to cause them to look up. Am I right, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had game cams and I were to set them out, I would basically aim them down over trails to provide, I mean, yeah, you'll get kind of an aerial view of a Squatch, but I bet you your chances of catching that Squatch on that camera are 10 times greater.
Oh, just speaking in generalities, like, I understand why people do it, and I understand possibly why nothing's been caught. But the one thing that's always kind of irked me about the whole crypto and Sasquatch thing is you have, take for example, Archetuthis or the giant squid, which
right.
people have actually, there's been bodies that have washed ashore. There's been, you know, pieces of them that are caught. They've actually been caught on camera. And we're talking about something that's anywhere from 9 to 22,000 feet below sea level.
Right.
Is where this happens, which is not habitable for human beings. But why has there not been a single anything besides some fake photos, some, you know, just stuff like that on a land-based creature? How is there no possibility of tangible evidence of that?
Well, that also depends on who you ask, because there's many, including myself, that believe the Patterson-Gimlin film is an actual living Sasquatch. And there's others who'd say that the Jacobs images are Sasquatch. The Freeman film, that's a Sasquatch. But it depends on who you ask as far as tangible evidence. You know, all these footprints that we have from all over the world that all share the same, you know, similarities. Many would argue that that's tangible evidence.
I have a pretty good theory on that question as well.
But I understand what you're trying to say. As far as like full, clear, non-disputable evidence of a Sasquatch. I understand that's what you're trying to say.
Well, no. What I mean is, even in cancel out the crypto end of it, but there's new species. I think last time I looked into it, in the actual animal kingdom, there's somewhere in the ballpark of 1,021. 1,027 new species per year that are found in all walks of the earth. Well, this has been going on for centuries.
Yeah, I mean it's not recent. I mean most people think that the Bigfoot thing started in the early 60s, you know, but no, I mean if you do your homework, it's ancient.
Yeah, and is there a possibility of a new, I'm going to call it primate, that is out there that is, you know, still undiscovered? Yes. Is there a possibility of a new primate that is smarter than every sort of piece of technology or the people that are going out there and hunting it? That's kind of hard to believe because that would bring in a complete intellectual thought and evasion.
I wouldn't go as far as saying smarter. I do feel justified in saying that they're more environmentally aware of their surroundings than we are. You know, I've been out in the woods many times, and I mentioned this on last week's show as well. I've been out in the woods many times, and I can always tell when someone else is out there or when someone else comes out into those woods.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Ahead.
I feel that...
No, I'm just...
I feel that any animal who has done nothing but survive in those woods has that ability down pat as well to know when something is not quite right.
Well, my question comes in, how can you have descriptions from all across the globe on the same creature, even before the mass media, even before newsprint. I mean, he's got to exist in some form or fashion.
Well, you know, it's like I said last week, Dennis. Out of all the hundreds, thousands of Sasquatch reports throughout history, if just one of those reports is real and factual, then Sasquatch is real. That's all it takes, is one of those reports to be 100% real.
As he was saying before, you have all of these different places all over the world that had no communication with each other, but yet had similar reports of the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and I would agree in a lot of ways that back, you know, decades or centuries, I would agree that that was a possibility. But
are you saying that it's possible that Sasquatch went extinct already?
I kind of am leaning towards that the more that I've looked into it.
Right.
And I think the folklore, and I think that the hype and everything else keeps it alive. But, I mean, if you look at Cro-Magnon, and if there's any ties to that, or if there's any ties to a human breeding with an ape, and this is what was created, there's so much stuff.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, like even back in the 1940s when Hitler was toying with, and he actually had orangutans and chimpanzees that he was trying to artificially inseminate women to make this ape human breed and species.
Now, was that Hitler or was that Stalin?
Actually, both of them did it. That was Stalin initially, and then Hitler kind of took over that project during the first part of World War II.
Right. That's what I was trying to clarify. Well, let me, and I'm not trying to at all insult Matt or mock or anything like that, but all I can say is this. If Sasquatch has already went extinct, then I have the best psychic abilities in the world because I can see the dead. Because I have seen a Sasquatch.
I was going to say, if it went extinct, it happened within the last year, because that's the last time that I saw one.
Well,
in no way am I trying to be offensive at all. Please don't take it that way.
No, and neither am I. I'm not trying to be combative or anything like that. This is why I love our network and I love what we do. It's brainstorming.
Well, this is how we get answers, you know, discussing our different views and debating. And I mean, it's the only way that you're going to find out the answers. I'm all for it, you know.
Oh yeah,
skepticism is very healthy.
I'm going to do something that I'm going to take this off topic. I have to, because it hit me so damn strong, and I got for those that listen to our show, and I'm not even going to plug it because
No, man, y'all can go ahead.
No, I'm not going to plug it because this one hit me so damn strong. Melissa.
Yes.
Your grandfather passed away. I get that he's on your father's side. I get that he was a rather tall, thin man. And he was very strong in his beliefs. Am I right?
He my father's father has passed away. He was not a tall, thin man. He was kind of a short, wide man, but he wasn't, like, fat or anything like that. And he wasn't, like, I don't know, about strong in his beliefs.
He was very outspoken.
Nope. He was quiet.
No, then I have to figure out, because out of nowhere, you spoke and I just had this individual start, like, jabbing the hell out of me. I'm not sure if it, is it possibly your mother's father?
I know he's
a grandfather. I get that. I'm perfectly clear on that. He's a grandfather. But he's very vocal, and he poked the shit out of me, which I didn't like, and I kind of backed him away from me. But I see a tall kind of, like, he's not skinny, but he's a little kind of small guy. I get maybe 6'1", 6'3". That's kind of rare for your family.
I don't know. Grandpa was he was tall. I don't know how tall he was, but Brian, how tall are you?
Me, I'm 6'1".
Okay, he's somewhere around your height.
I know, you're describing, and I'm like, now my grandfather fits the description, and I actually fit the description of what you described too. That's why I was wondering, okay, could he be picking up on my grandfather and not Melissa's? But, I mean, you said Melissa, right?
No, you and her are a couple?
No. She's married. We're friends. We're actually a lot like brother and sister. But,
well,
you know, we're no family relationship.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. As soon as she spoke again, I started getting this just prodding. You have to listen to me. I have to tell her. The only thing that I hear is, it's really weird now that I'm not sure which side of the family he's on, but he says he saw you as a baby, and he left not long after.
Could that might be my great-grandfather then, which I won't have no memory of, so...
Well, it was very soon after you were born. I get, I have this image. He's a tall, I'm going to say 6'1", 6'3" individual. He's a thin guy. But he's telling me that he likes the path that you're on and he wants you to proceed. I'm not sure what he's referencing, whether it be your profession. I don't know. He tells me he likes the job you do. And I don't know if you have a profession. I don't know if you have a job. I don't know anything about you. I've never met you. I've never even talked to you. But... he tells me to stay on the path that you're on, and it's where you're supposed to be.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, he says that Annie will be proud also. Now, I'm not sure who Annie is, but, yeah, well, anyway.
Is any of this ringing a bell, Melissa, or?
No, but, he said that he saw me as a baby and then passed away shortly after. You know, if I had a great-grandfather or something, because both of my grandfathers lived, you know, till I was up in age.
Right. So, we're actually, I want to tell you guys, we're actually not on the air, but it is recording. And Dennis, Matt, you guys know how it is. So we're going to keep going. I mean, this is getting really interesting. I'm enjoying it. We have another caller on the air. I'll go ahead and take that this time.
Oh, I was
Hello.
Just listening, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I was just listening. I'll listen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to us.
Oh, no problem. You know who this is, right? It's Howie.
I'm sorry.
What's up, Howie?
Hey, what's up? It's Howie.
No, all right, man. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, working out, working the show, listening up on y'all, tuning in. So, running good.
Well, that's
hey,
awesome. How
are you? How is a...
give a finger flick to the Bluetooth, because you sound like shit. We can hardly hear you.
Flick it a dick.
Now,
all right,
Ryan,
guys, we got to kind of keep
would
it
be
clean.
Howie.
No.
This would be
Howie. Howard and Ryan and all those guys, like Ryan, who's on Monday nights. Howard is the one who recommended Ryan for Monday nights. So Howard is a good friend of Dennis and everybody else along with the network. And he'll check in and, you know, shoot the crap with everybody every once in a while. But
hey, he's not really a good friend. I don't like him. Don't lie.
Shut up. You like him.
Well, guys,
you don't like.
Let's try to get back on the Sasquatch thing if we can. Is there anything else that you guys would like to discuss or to add? I feel like there's so much that we could talk about.
Oh,
I got a question for Brian and Melissa actually about when you guys heard the roar.
Yeah.
Either of you notice? Did you experience anything? Like, and I'm curious because of some of the other things that I've heard about infrasound. Did you guys experience any kind of temporary paralysis or confusion or anything along that line? Because I hear so much about them being able to emit a sound wave that will actually semi-paralyze a prey item.
That's what
brings me to the question.
I don't know if it was as much that for me, I don't know if it was as much that, but I do know that I did not instantly remember roaring back at this thing until we actually went through tonight and got home, and it was the next morning, and Melissa and I were talking about it. I did not remember at all until then that I roared back at this thing. It's like I didn't even notice that I did it. It was almost like just, you know, a spontaneous reaction. like I wasn't actually there doing it. And it wasn't until the next day that Melissa and I got to talking about it. I'm like, holy crap, I just remembered I roared back at that thing.
Yeah, and I didn't experience like any paralysis or anything like that. I didn't.
Oh, she was definitely moving. She was in the process of hauling ass. So I don't think there was any paralysis on that part.
Mm-mm.
No, that would again back up my ideas that whole area of other people's opinions may be incorrect. Like I always say, I never say that anything is 100% not true, unless I just say that if it is true, I have yet to be fortunate enough to experience it. So
right. And that goes on the lines with these people who claim that Sasquatch is a telepath.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know how to address that. Personally, I don't buy it. But anything is possible, if you know what I'm saying. I haven't been in that position to experience it, you know, myself. So I can't really say one way or the other if that's true, or if that was just these particular individuals' own fears and adrenaline taking over.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I follow that whole same theory with the telepathy, with the infrasound, with the whole, I guess, telepathy and mind speak are the same thing. Some people call it mind speak. In reality, it's just telepathy. And especially the whole topic of the ability to turn invisible or cloak, if you will, which I find difficult to believe. But again, if it's true, I just haven't yet been fortunate enough.
Exactly.
To
get it. I'm the same way. I don't buy the whole cloaking thing. I mean, it's really not hard. I mean, I have a black dog, okay? And he's right here in my yard. And I know he's there in my yard. And there's a floodlight above him. And half the time, I can't even tell where he is in my yard.
Right.
And he's tied to a chain. So it's not hard, in particular at night, for something that's dark colored or black to, quote, disappear.
Exactly. And the way I try to bring this up to people who believe that the whole cloaking or turning invisible is real, I go with the whole, that's the one thing that any Sasquatch is fortunate, having the long hair, as it kind of breaks up the outline, and it allows them, especially at nighttime, obviously, to blend in with the surroundings, whatever type of surrounding that happens to be in at the time. So, yeah.
We have to keep in mind that generally when someone sees a Sasquatch, their first initial response and reaction is pure adrenaline-fueled fear.
Like in
our case, Melissa's first reaction was to haul ass and run. My first reaction, which I did not even remember doing, was to roar back at this thing. And I think that both reactions stemmed from that adrenaline-fueled fear, that she reacted in her way, I reacted in my way. Neither one, we can't say whether either one was a proper reaction, but that's what I'm saying. I really think that, you know, when people have these encounters, that kind of takes over, and it skews their opinions and their judgment of what exactly is going on and what exactly it is they're seeing.
Right.
Well, exactly.
You definitely have to take a recorder with you next time.
Oh,
I mean,
no
if
doubt.
You hear any noise that, you know, your team goes, what the hell was that? Well, you can kind of judge from, you know, a wolf, a fox, a dog, you know, light crunching sound to, you know, 800 pounds of crunching.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you go, I heard it roar, and I roared back at it.
Well, see, the thing was, we were actually...
Besides, I want to hear your roar. So, all right, come on, give us a roar.
My interpretation of it is what you're asking for?
Yeah. Well, I want
well, I did
you
it at the top of the show.
Like you roared back.
Oh, I just went, roar! You know, like that. Yeah, it was just a gut reaction. But this thing was nothing like what I just did. I mean, even when I try to mimic this thing, I can't. I posted on our Facebook page. I found a Bigfoot roar that sounds similar, even though it was low and at a distance. It sounds similar. But Melissa went digging a little bit further, and she found a gorilla roar that sounds very similar. It's so hard to describe. It was both high-pitched and guttural at the same time. And I mean, that's the, you know, I described it on my Facebook page, you know, initially as what sounded like a mix between the largest dog known to man, a massive, and an alligator combined, roaring. If a dog could roar that particular sound. But
so,
just multiply.
And you know what? I'll see if I can find the audio clip, which nocturnally doesn't. And what time of night was this?
It was. Let's
it
see.
It was after midnight.
Yeah. Because on my digital recorder, it's like 12:15, but that's after the roar. So yeah,
I also happen to miss what area that you were in.
We're in North Mississippi.
Yep, it's a private location, Matt. Get over it.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm trying to figure out which
private. You have to have private request that you can be there.
This is actually Melissa's own 25, 26 acres of land that she owns.
I've been invited, Matt. You haven't. Shut up.
shut up, Dennis. No. What I'm trying to figure out is what area that you were in as far as what native wildlife would actually be there. It's not like you were in Utah or Colorado or Alaska where there's going to be a grizzly bear population or moose.
They say we don't even have bears, but black bears have been seen in the area. You know, they say that we don't have panthers, but, you know, those have been spotted in the area.
But see, when I went and listened to all the sounds trying to find it, I listened to bears, I listened to all kinds of cats and stuff like that. The closest thing I could find was the gorilla.
And when she sent it to me, it's posted on our Facebook page too, these audio sounds. There's different animals, there's lions, tigers, all different animal type roars. And she didn't tell me anything about it. She just said, go listen to this and see if you recognize a sound that sounds similar to what we heard. And I'm listening to it, and I'm going through elephant roars and lions and, you know, different animals. And then it comes to the gorilla. And this particular gorilla does two roars. One is real low, and then there's a second one that's got a higher pitch and really loud. And that second one, In fact, I'll send it to you guys through Facebook. That second one is exactly what it sounded like.
Well, so, y'all have gorillas in Louisiana?
No, we're in Mississippi.
I'm sorry.
Two different states. No, we don't have a gorillas.
Right next to, side by side, but yeah.
Well, what Melissa didn't tell you is she lives right next to the zoo in Mississippi. I'm kidding.
Don't be an ass, Matt.
Mississippi broke off and drifted to the Congo. No, we don't have gorillas here. That's the point we're trying to make. This thing sounds exactly like a gorilla, but obviously there's no gorillas here. So that leads to the question, what else could it have been?
Well, all right. And I have just a general question. I personally haven't done this, but I do have a question about it for people who kind of more specialize in the Sasquatch hunting techniques and all that kind of stuff. But have any of you gone back as far as genealogy and environmentalism and all that to try and see what would spark the development of this kind of creature and how it would be able to survive? I mean, also, the climate of Mississippi, it's not as huge of a swing as what we have here, but it's more like what Dennis has. You don't have as cold of winters, but you have hot as hell summers. So if you got something walking around, a big furry coat, summers,
you know,
and the humidity
it's
and everything.
It's interesting you say that because I've actually kind of considered all these same things. And here's what a lot of people don't realize. Mississippi is, what, Melissa, 90% woods. And there are springs, there are streams, there are runoffs, there are lakes, there is water abundant in these woods. As far as genealogy, that would be speculation. You know, until we actually lock one of these things down and do all the proper test work, and I'm not talking about we as in my team, I'm talking about society in general. It's all speculation. Myself, personally, I believe these creatures were the first creatures on this planet, and we came later.
Well, the moderate temperature there is only 78. That's not unbearable.
Think about this, guys.
It's possible that even in a suit, you know, even in a, you know, fur coat,
you can
survive there with no problem.
Of course. I mean, here's what you got to realize. We really do not know how thick a Sasquatch hair is. Okay? People see them. We get all kind of different reports. If a dog, a wild dog or a stray dog can survive, if a deer can survive, if a big 400-pound wild boar can survive, if a bear, we know how thick a bear's hair is, if that can survive, then it stands to reason that a Sasquatch can also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but hold on, Dennis. The animals you're describing are short-haired with a seasonal undercoat. Everything that has to do with Sasquatch, like if you throw a basset hound or a double-layered like an Akita or something like that that has more of a coat, or a Saluki, or no, Saluki short-haired. An Afghan is what I was trying to think of. So you throw any long-haired animal that's out there, they're almost like a snowball's chance in hell of being able to live. And, I mean, that would be grooming. So then you'd have running like you have what deer have. You'd have bar scrapes to where they'd be scratching their backs and doing all, I mean, there's so much evidence that isn't there to support the existence versus what there is that is there.
But Matt,
I have can I please comment?
Evolution.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
These animals that you describe, do you think that they would just go and lay down and die, or do you think they would find a way to survive, either by hiding in the bush, hiding in the woods, staying by water sources, or something like that? Now here's something that I think that you're misunderstanding. You're thinking that if you turn a dog like that loose, that its chances of survival are slim. And in a way, you're right. But that's because that dog is already associated with humans, so it'll stay in a human area looking for human handouts, human food, instead of going out there on its own. Whereas, okay, a wolf is a dog. A wolf's hair is thick. That kind of blows the theory out of the water.
But it's not as thick as an Arctic wolf. So they adapt to their environment.
Okay, let's say that a Sasquatch didn't adapt to our environment.
It's not like these things were sitting in a rich hotel and just decided one day to walk out into the woods.
Yeah.
They have always been there.
You got to also think that as far as being in cold conditions, sheer body mass will keep a living being warmer than, you know, you get a 9-foot-tall, 800-pound creature, and the internal body temperature is going to stay warmer than, say, an average canine of any species or even a human as far as that goes.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You're talking to somebody who, like me personally, when it comes to wolves and adaptation, I sponsored a pack for the last 12 years in they were in Iowa, they'd now been moved to Minnesota, and between timber wolves and Arctic wolves. And Dennis and I actually did a show, the Wolf Conservation Foundation that's out in Colorado.
Right.
So, yes, I'm very well invested in adaptation of creatures and ones who don't have human influence.
Well, you're also talking about creatures that are more intelligent than the animals that you mentioned. You know, and as far as rubs and stuff like that, they are out there. Finding them is one thing. Locking them down to a Sasquatch is something completely different, especially if you go out there not even thinking in terms of Sasquatch. You know, it's like the video I posted on our page. We found a tree with holes where something was poking in it. Jason, I don't know if Jason's still on air with us or not. But I mean, you saw those holes, man.
I did.
You know, and the thing is, how do you know what is a Sasquatch and what it has done and what it hasn't done as compared to, oh, that must have been a bear, or, oh, that must have been a deer? You see my point?
Well, back,
unless
back,
you
no,
actually
I,
see
nobody's...
it doing it. You
no, no, I totally understand what you're saying, and I support everything, because, I mean, you know, you focus on, like, what Dennis and I do is more of the spiritual ghost, and we can't see anything. It's just whatever we catch is what we catch. And I'm more playing, I can't say devil's advocate, but just...
No, you're playing devil's advocate, and you're being a douche about it.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, I'm being honest.
You know, I can't tell anyone what to believe because, you know, it's. I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen anything that makes me 100% certain that's a ghost. Do I believe it's possible that they can exist? Yes, I personally have not seen it. You know, I can't sit here and tell someone who hasn't seen a Sasquatch, hey, I can tell them, hey, they're real, I've seen it. You know, I can tell it to them blue in the face. That doesn't mean they're going to believe it. You know, I hope I'll put that out to where it actually makes a little sense. It made sense in my head.
Well, no, and I completely agree with you.
Don't worry about it.
No, I completely agree with you, and the fact that, you know, thus far, there is XYZ amount of evidence, and we have to take that and then develop in ways to prove whether it's true or not, and that's in paranormal or crypto.
Well, see, also the thing about Sasquatch evidence, you know, because it is, I don't want to say animal because I don't think they're animals. It is a being that lives out in the woods, the same place as other animals, bear, wolf, everything like that. So it is very easy to misconstrue what is Sasquatch evidence as opposed to what is evidence of another animal.
Up until about 2 days ago, Chupacabra was also a mythical creature. Now they believe they have captured one.
Oh, the MSN thing?
Texas.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that on MSN today. I didn't even open it.
That's,
well,
that's
I'll
a very
what,
good point, Dennis. We are...
Open the news site's video and watch how it eats, watch how it sits. It doesn't do anything like a canine. I've never seen a canine eat out of its hands like a marsupial.
Thank you. That is what I said.
Frankly, I think that video was the raccoon with mange, but that's me.
Well,
is a what?
To me, it looks like a raccoon with mange.
No, it's not a raccoon.
Can I ask you a question without you taking this the wrong
raccoon,
way?
Raccoon.
Yeah.
The raccoon's colorations go into its skin. This thing is solid one color.
That's right. How often do you get out in the woods?
Well, living in the suburbs of Chicago, what are woods?
Thank you. You completely answered my question and completely gave me the perfect image of what's going on. And all I can say is you have to get out there. You know. There's so many people that I talk to that say, oh, Bigfoot's not real. And I'm like, have you ever been out in the woods in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere? No. You're not going to...
Actually, I have, though. I was dating a girl for almost 8 years that lived in the woods up in
there you
Wisconsin.
Go. There's your Sasquatch. Case closed.
Hey, come on. But no,
I'm telling you, this thing that they caught in Texas, that thing is something totally different. And I beg and pray to see what the DNA analysis comes up with. I don't care if their DNA is poop. This thing ain't never been seen before. The growl that it makes, the snarl, the fact that it sits up and eats out of its hands like a marsupial.
Are you talking about the chupacabra?
Yeah. On
the
video,
yeah,
what it says. They said it was eating corn, and they've been feeding it corn, I believe, and cat food, and they saw it in a tree.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know any dog that can climb a tree. And in my opinion, you were talking about marsupial looking. To me, it looks like a wallaby, but a wallaby's tail is not as skinny as its tail is.
Exactly. It has a tail like a rat.
Yeah.
A long, skinny tail. But I'll tell you what, I've seen
Chihuahuas and Pomeranians that aren't as big as this thing. This is something that we have never seen before. Now, my only issue with it is, by reputation, the chupacabra drops goats and sheep and on some instances, cattle. This thing is way too small to drop an animal like those. Unless, and if you think about it, if it jumps on its back and it goes after a main vein, which is what they always see to be attacked, much like the human has a jugular, these animals that have been dropped reportedly by the chupacabra, they all
now,
have
now,
a
let
bite
me, let me get
in
this straight.
The,
this is Dennis talking right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That's what
that's
I... That's what
nonsense.
So, by reports, all of the animals that have been, quote-unquote, killed by the chupacabra have a bite to the jugular or the main vein running their neck. This thing's kind of small. If this is what they caught, which they actually have it in a trap, and if you haven't seen the video, you have to look at it because it does not look like any flipping thing I've ever seen in my life. And I've been an animal enthusiast my whole life. But if this thing were to jump on the back of any animal, I don't care the size of it, even a bison. And it goes to the right side and goes after that main vein, the jugular, then it can drop any animal. Because it's small enough that they can't shake it off. They can't do anything. I mean, you know, it's not like a... You know, a deer, a buffalo, a goat, any of those animals can squat its own back. So there is a very good possibility that this animal that they caught in Texas, and you have to see the video, brother. I'm telling you, Brian, this thing is phenomenal.
Well, at this point,
the video
okay.
is a news crew.
At this point, we don't know if this thing has some kind of venom in it or bacteria. For example, the Komodo dragons, their bite is dead, and it's just because of the bacteria in their
good
mouth
point.
And in their teeth. So we don't know
good
if that
point.
May be. And then they eventually stalk down the animals that they bit. So we really don't know if that could be the case here or not, and I'm sure no one's getting close enough to it to find out at this point.
Well, extremely valid points. You know, maybe it doesn't have to drop its animal or its victim, its kill, by blood loss. Maybe it has some sort of toxin.
Right.
So that's a pretty cool thought, man. I'll give you kudos on that one.
Well, Matt,
that's the
well,
only thing
I'll
give you kudos on.
Thank you. Thank you. Matt, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Why do you seem to be so adamant about the non-existence of, say, Sasquatch, maybe a chupacabra?
Well, it's not that I'm adamant about the non-belief or non-existence of it, but there are certain questions that I have that I have never been able to get an intelligent answer about. That's really all it comes down to. Same thing as if you were to ask me a question about paranormal, like, well, I don't think paranormal exists. Well, why? Well, because I don't believe it exists because of this, 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 and this doesn't make sense, and that doesn't make sense.
Oh, I never said I didn't believe it exists. I said I haven't seen it for myself.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with me also. So I'm asking questions as in kind of like rational, irrational thought. Like, if I were to answer something about paranormal, it may sound irrational to you, but it's rational to me because I've experienced it. I've never experienced anything that has to do with the Sasquatch stuff, so I'm asking questions.
Well, you're more critical, and I mean, you're my friend, you know that. You and I have seen many more. To come and to experience, you know. I doubt that I can make a believer out of you.
All right, Brian, real quick, was he coming out to anybody else but me, or was that just me?
No, he was breaking up. I just.
Oh yeah, no, that was
horribly.
I'm sorry. That was you, Matt. What I was saying is you're more... I'm sorry, I was actually watching the Chupacabra video at the same time. That might have caused a little interference. But what I'm saying is you're more than welcome to come out anytime if you're ever down in Mississippi. Get up with me, man, because I know without a shadow of a doubt I can make a believer out of you.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that... I've never experienced what you've experienced. I'm not saying I don't believe that it's possible. I've never experienced it to say yay or nay.
I can understand where you're coming from. As far as that goes, because you know my son's the same way. Despite the fact that there's been rocks thrown at us, despite the fact that he's heard these howls, heard the wood knocks, he's kind of like. I'll fully believe it when I see it. So I mean I do understand where you're coming from. But you know the things
you
said.
You're cutting out again.
Can you guys
Brian,
hear me?
Stop seeing videos. You break up
horribly
when you do.
No. Hold on. Can you guys hear me now?
No.
Hey, can you hear me now?
You broke that horribly, brother.
Yeah, there.
I accidentally hit this mic thing where it goes mute on my little headphone set. Sorry. What I'm saying is my son's the same way. He's heard the howls. He's had rocks thrown at him. He's heard the wood knocks. But at the same time, he says, well, I'll fully believe it when I see it. You know? So
yeah.
I can understand that take on it. But there's some of the things... Am I breaking up now? Can you guys hear me good?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine now.
There's some of the things that you had said that indicate to me that full research on your part hasn't been done. You talk about the lack of evidence. You talk about certain things that I know are there, if you just take time and actually do the full research on it, all the way from casts that show dermal ridges, stories about this creature throughout history, ancient hieroglyphs and pictographs that show this creature. Our own president, Teddy Roosevelt, wrote about a run-in he had with one of these creatures. The story Beowulf is based on encounters with these creatures. So the evidence is there. Is it 100% substantial, a body lying in front of us? No. But if you were to take all this evidence into a courtroom if it was like a criminal case. You would win that case. Unfortunately, in the case of Bigfoot, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and well, and that's kind of what my point is there, and same thing with spirits. I'm not discounting, you know, or pro ghosts of like, oh, look how much stuff we got and look how little you have. Like that's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah.
And we deal with the same shit in our field as well. Something is only going to believe or be believed as much as somebody wants to believe it or believe in it. And there's a lot of people that I know. And, I mean, they're great, great people, and they've made a living doing this. They tour the country. They go to paracons. They make money off of what they find.
And that's the problem. That's where I find the problem. When there's money involved, that's when things go to crap. That's when I start not believing people.
Exactly. So it's the same thing in both fields. I mean, whether it's paranormal or cryptozoology, it's the same thing.
Well, I mean, Melissa and I, we talked hell just the other day about this. If I were to definitively find proof of a Sasquatch, I don't think that I would. How can I put this? I don't know if I would want to divulge that information. You know, and if I did finally get to the point where I felt like it would only be with certain people in the field that I know are credible, that I know 100% certainty aren't in it to make a quick buck, but are in it to scientifically prove the existence. Because, you know, I told Melissa, I said, the first thing that's going to happen is people are going to want to know the location. If you get that information out, they're going to bombard the location, which is going to threaten this individual, this being, and his habitat. And I don't think that I want that to happen. See, in my mind, I look at it like this. You know, you mentioned earlier about the intelligence of Sasquatch. In my opinion, in a lot of ways, Sasquatch are more intelligent than we are. Because look what we're doing to our environment. Look what we're doing to our world. These beings are living as one with their surroundings and with their environment. You know, we're the cancer on this planet, not them. So in a lot of ways, I kind of envy them. You know, it's like I told Melissa the other day. Imagine if all you had to do was wake up in the most beautiful setting there is in the forest, and all you had to worry about was getting food and from point A to point B in the forest. You didn't have to worry about bills. You didn't have to worry about all this, all these politics, all this war, all this utter bullcrap. You know, all you had to worry about was living your life, a survival instinct. To me, I envy that. And I think that they got it right, to be honest with you.
I agree. Those that want to live off the grid are trying to emulate Squatch, Skunk Ape, whatever you want to call him, Rugrim. That's all they're trying to do is get the hell away from civilization. And I certainly can't blame them. I mean, if you had the option to be off the grid completely and nobody even knew you existed.
I think about that more often. I think about that more often than many people even realize. I watch these shows. I watch Mountain Men, and I'm like, oh man, that's so awesome. You know, it appeals to me. I mean, even when I watch and what I know about the Amish, some aspects of that appeal to me as well. Just living your life, a simple life, without all the bull crap. To me, it's the true way of living. You know, we have complicated life.
Well, yeah. That's definitely true. I mean,
the Amish definitely have a very complicated life. They must follow the order. So they are kind of an equivalent to us in a nondescript population. Now, I can tell you about Amish. That one I'm very well familiar with.
Dennis,
I can't tell you about Squatch.
I tell you what, guys. I just got a call from my son. I have to go get him from work. I have to cut the show off at this point. We've already ran way over. But I want to try to continue this. What do you guys say to being back here next week?
Wait, you want us as guests?
Are you sure? Are you crazy?
Hey,
what the
this
hell
is interesting.
Kind of drugs are you on?
It's
you
interesting.
Us on your show.
Melissa, what do you think?
I think it's an interesting topic.
I mean, we're not going to all agree with each other.
No.
But we're,
that's the best part.
But we're making points, and we're understanding. We're getting closer to understanding. That's all part of it.
If we all agreed with each other, then we would be following Obama's ideas.
Don't start that shit now, Dennis.
All I ask is you
it's
guys remember
my
the show.
Way.
You guys remember the show is PG-13. You know, that's all. Of course, you guys do this too. You know how it is. But I really apologize. Hey, are y'all down for next week?
I'm in.
We have to know so we can make posters now.
Yeah. I've got. You guys know how it is. You guys have your own show. We have to do the flyers and all that stuff to advertise. But if you guys are down for next week, and Matt, do me a favor, man, please. Do as much research on it as you can.
I've done a lot of research.
You don't have to have woods, man. You have the internet sitting right in front of you. You can find any damn thing you want on there.
See, this is what happens. I've done a lot of research. I haven't been able to talk about because Dennis doesn't shut up.
It's hard to believe that you guys are actually on the same team.
It's hard
to
believe we actually like each other.
That's so crazy. But guys,
to believe that we actually call each other brother, but that's beside the point.
I think that's what
it all comes down. But Brian, thanks for having us on. Matt,
you bet,
Dave,
buddy.
Thank you and good night.
Jason, if you're still on the air, man, I appreciate you stopping in.
No problem.
Hopefully I can try to get you. I want to try to get you back on next week too, man, because I know you're with the crypto crew. I know you've seen a lot of evidence. I want to get your opinions more on what you believe. I know that you hurt your shoulder today, and I really, really, really deeply appreciate you taking the time, you know, and being on with us.
Yeah. Brian, Jason, Melissa, I definitely appreciate it. I'm gonna sign off real quick. Dennis, brother, Love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll see y'all next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
I'll talk to you this week, Brian, and it was nice to meet you, Melissa. You take care.
It was nice to meet you.
Melissa, give me a holler if you can.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.